Cars,
Super Late Models,
Thunder Cars,
Modifies,
World of Outlaws,
Archives,
it's all here.
Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt.
On races, famed short tracks.
All the way to the high banked oval.
This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
And now, here's your host, live from the Race Time Radio studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, ho, 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 everybody. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Man, what a weekend out there. Look at this for weather in southern Ontario. It'll pass. I guarantee it will. Welcome aboard. We've got 2 hours live for you tonight here on racetimeradio.com. And, of course, coming up on Sirius XM Channel 167. And what a great lineup we've got for you tonight. I'm Joe Chisholm, along with Junior in the studio. What do you think?
Global warming is happening, I guess.
It's fake.
Man.
It's got to be fake.
We have about 2 feet of snow. I didn't go outside all weekend.
No, you didn't.
I literally hunkered in, and I seen the snow outside. I didn't really compute how much it was. And then I walked out to the Race Time Radio studio, and I realized, what the hell was all the commotion?
Oh, my.
My Lord. Get the groomers out. We're going to go snowmobile racing.
This has got to be the weirdest weekend on record.
Yeah, definitely.
I put a tweet out earlier today. Said, you know what? One of those days when you sit back and start talking about weird days, this is the one I'm going to be thinking of.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right here.
I remember, like, when you had the racetrack, we used to have practice days in the middle of April.
Sure.
The middle of April, it was normal.
Last year at this time, I had my boat in the water.
Yeah.
And I don't know. You didn't go for a ride every day because
no.
It wasn't, you know,
well,
beautiful.
We're not expecting it to be July here.
No.
But come on.
Yeah.
We're on the wrong side of the weather here.
Well.
But that's okay. We're going to talk about some hot action this weekend and talk about some racing that's coming up.
That's exactly what we're going to do. Here's who we've got coming at you tonight on the program. We're going to talk Petty International Raceway. They've got an inaugural, a pass to a race is going to come in to Petty this year, Junior. And we got Craig McFetrin's going to come on, and we're going to talk to him about that, along with the Pro Stock Tour and everything else that Petty has going. Iconic Speedway in Eastern Canada. Real cool spot.
Yeah, I think we talk about Petty every single week here.
We try to.
Just, you know, previewing the beginning portion of the season and of course, kicking off the Pro Stock Tour. We've been featuring quite a few guys over the past couple weeks and from out in PEI and you know, all across the Maritimes. You know, Petty is that racetrack that keeps on popping up that everybody is really thinking of heading into the beginning portion of the year. And obviously with the PASC series coming in, that's a huge portion of news, for sure. And really the PASC series is not new to Canada by any stretch,
no.
Right? They've turned a lot of laps over at 660 and, you know, obviously a lot of the PASC guys as well come up in and do some racing with the Pro Stock Tour, but really this is probably the furthest north that the PASC guys have came in the past, 20 years?
I would
furthest
think.
North,
yep.
To Petty Speedway. So looking forward to talking to those guys and kind of catching up and as well, see what else they got. You know, we talk a lot of Pro Stock action. We talk a lot about PASC and the late models and sportsmen even. We talk about quite a bit of sportsmen
sure.
on the show, but we'll talk about the weekly program that they've got scheduled for the year and go from there.
Yeah, we'll find out what Craig's got cooking, so to speak. We'll also talk Pro Stock Tour with Steve Halpin, driver of the 03. He's coming back in. He's got some news that he's going to share with us tonight. I believe it's his schedule, and we're going to find out from Steve Halpin tonight. He's a good, real good cat.
Yeah, absolutely. And took a little bit of a hiatus, right, from full-time racing. You know, it's going to be cool to catch back up with Steve. And it's been, 2 years, I believe? Or he just took 1 year off?
1 year.
He took 1 year completely
off. Might have been two.
It might have been two.
Yeah.
But a great competitor. He always had a great-looking race car.
Always.
That team is definitely, they're digging deep. So we'll see what they got. What they got lined up.
We'll also hear from the Iron Man here in Ontario, Gary Elliott. Mr. Quaker State is going to stop on by tonight. So we're looking forward to that. celebrating 50 years. Can you imagine, Junior? 50 years behind the wheel.
Yeah, definitely. And if you follow him along on Facebook, he's got, you know, he's got a lot of nostalgic photos on there.
Oh, yeah.
And that shows the 50-year portion. But he also has a lot of very new age stuff coming out. And he's got a lot of really good-looking race cars rolling out of his shop for the 2018 season. And by the sounds of it, he's got a just as a... you know, energetic of a schedule as any of the young bucks out there. So looking forward to catching up with Gary.
Yeah, we're going to hear from him tonight on the show as well. We're going to talk APC late model series with a real cool team up. We got Ryan Kimball and Sean Grossman. We're not only going to have those two guys on, because they're teaming up, we're going to have them both on at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. That SMG Motorsports that they've got lined up, it's only right to have both of them on. And they've got, by the sounds of it, a brand new race car in the APC series from Fury. And then flip it over on its head, and Sean Grossman's going to wheel a brand new race car from Seneca in the United or in the Super Late Model Tour that's going to, you know, travel Ontario. So, man, those are two big names, and really two names that you don't see a whole lot of in Ontario.
Yeah. Opposite ends of the spectrum, Ryan freezing his butt off like we are here.
Yep.
Sean Grossman sitting in the Keys in Florida. So we're going to have them both on the show tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. I can imagine Grossman will have his sunscreen on. And the rest of us will have our heaters on. So
absolutely.
We'll get into all that in just a wee bit. But what do you say we get to the hotline and bring in our first guest? He comes to us all the way out on the east coast of Canada. And got to welcome Craig McFetridge to the show from Petty International Raceway. What's going on tonight there, Craig? How you doing? Okay. What do you say? Hit this button. Now I'll see. Hey, Craig, how you doing?
Pretty good.
That's good. I did give you a proper intro, but I didn't hit the right button. But I got you now. That's all good.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. How are you doing this weekend? I know you guys were busy. You guys had a big show this weekend out there in Nova Scotia. How did it go?
We were at Speed Sport in actually Moncton. I just got back to Halifax from there as we speak, and went well. Got to talk to a lot of race fans and got to see a lot of new race cars for 2018.
Yeah, that'll get the blood flowing, won't it?
Oh, it sure does. It sure does. It's getting close now.
getting a chance to speak to the fans. Everybody's got to be pumped up for what's coming to Petty this year. You got a lot happening.
We have it's probably our biggest action-packed year, and it's hard to believe it's been 8 years already since we reopened, but this year we're actually doing 13 events, which is the most me and Wayne ever attempted to pull off, so... we're just about down to the execution stage where we just got to make these things happen, and the plans for them are almost done.
Well, it's kind of cool, too, Craig, when you can get a sponsor for those big events, and by the sounds of it, by the look of it, you got a real good one coming on for that inaugural Pass Tour race that you guys got coming up. That's going to be probably the highlight event of your season, isn't it?
Yeah, you know what, between, you know, the Pro All-Star Series and the Maritime Pro Stock Tour, you know, we couldn't be more excited, you know, and the cap off with the Mike Stevens Memorial in September. Five big events for the fans of the Moncton region and from all over the Maritimes. Yeah, it's going to be a big one for sure.
Awesome stuff, Craig. It takes a lot to put a schedule together like that. Got to make sure all the dates line up and trying to get everybody in the right place at the right time. It's a real feat to do it, but it looks like you guys have you got one set up for the fans to go cuckoo on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we always pencil in the big events around the Maritimes to avoid those, and then try to slide our own in there, and it makes it good for the fans. It's pretty well wall-to-wall racing from the long weekend in May until the end of September.
Craig, talk to us a little bit, looking down through the schedule. One thing that jumps off, and it's really cool to see, a little bit of a season within a season with your Triple Crown lineup. Talk to us a little bit about that and how that Triple Crown is going to shape up.
Well, we have a couple big things going on. We have Triple Crown for our street stocks, which is presented by Westwood Estates. That's one thing for them, and that division's been really growing. As we know, the old steel-bodied cars put on great shows, bumper to bumper, tire rubs on the doors, nothing flies off, and they just keep going. But new for this year is the five race series for pro stock super late models, which is the bumper to bumper petty pro stock 5K challenge presented by Lonnie Somerville Racing. And that's, we're going to score points within the big races at Petty this summer. So, and the best four out of five races will get you a cool $5,000 to the winner.
Wow. Wow. Good hit there. That'll get some attention.
Yeah, for sure. You know, it's you know, if a tour guy wins it and if the tour champion wins it, I should say, you know, add 5,000 to the 10 that he's getting, it makes it a little better.
Absolutely. And that's one thing that, you know, that's kind of groundbreaking, and that's, I'm glad you kind of touched on it right out of the gate, is, you know, that's one thing that you used to see a lot of back in the day with the Molson Export Series. You used to see, you know, tracks kind of jump on and add incentive for even the tours that are coming in to attract the car count, and it sounds like you guys really jumped on the ball with this one. I love the format that you guys have put together for that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. We've always, since we reopened Petty, and there wasn't a lot of racing right in the Moncton area, you know, so we've really always lacked New Brunswick competitors. This way, you know, we can give them five big races in the province of New Brunswick, plus other races that are around the region, and that can fill out their schedule without really big travel. Of course, everybody wants to do the IWK 250 and the CAT 250, so there's seven races right there for race teams, and you know what, you pick and choose a few after that, and that's pretty well all a person can do these days.
If you're just tuned in to Racetime Radio, welcome aboard. We have Craig Mefectris. Oh, hey, how do you like that, Craig? I really demoed your name. Craig Mefectris, how are you? That sounds a little closer. From Petty International Raceway with us on the hotline. Craig, looking at that schedule, the regular racing, and I know we can't call it regular, every night is a special night, but the regular form of racing that we'll see at Petty, what do you got for classes and what can fans expect to see on a growth perspective there?
Yeah, like we're really encouraged. Registrations are up. You know, anytime you can get two or three new registrations in a division, you got to be optimistic, and it's nice to see growth. So we do the Bandolero division, which are the kids. We also do the Maritime League of Legends. They come twice. We do mini stock, which is the four cylinder racing. We do beginner four cylinder racing, which is folks that are new to the sport and want to get their feet wet and don't want to compete against the top guys. So it's a learning process there. So they get to run that until they get so good and until me and Wayne decide it's time for them to move on to the big four cylinder class. And then, of course, we had street stock, and we have open-wheel modifieds, which we're really looking forward to seeing growth in them in 2018, as well as the late model class, which is known as sportsman here in the Maritimes.
Yeah, awesome stuff. Speaking of the Oval Outlaw, Wayne Smith, of course, your partner there at the racetrack. How's Wayne making out? Is he going to do any laps this year, or have you got him bolted right to the racetrack and, you know, he's going to be doing stuff around there?
Well, Wayne did well. He just got back from Florida. He took it easy this winter. So he's just got back to Moncton. Wayne, I don't think he's going to turn too many laps this year. He's got a lot to do with the doing tech with the Maritime Pro Stock Tour, of course, looking after, you know, 13 races at Petty. So that's pretty well going to keep him busy. He might get in the late model car, you know, once or maybe twice this year, but who knows?
You might let him out
in there. He makes stuff happen.
You might let him out of the shop every now and then to go play.
Yeah, we kind of let each other out of the shop. I guess it's you know, it's pretty well wide open once we get going here in May, and you know, by the time, like I said, we do our things at Petty, and then we do our things at other racetracks around the Maritimes. It's you know, you're pretty well gassed come October.
Yeah, it's a busy schedule. It's a busy season, and that's what we all love about it. Practice. You got one day on the schedule. Is there going to be more? What's the plans there? When do you get out of the box?
Well, we're going to do an open practice the week before for the Maritime Pro Stock Tour cars. That'll be on the 12th or 13th of May, the week before their event. So that'd be an open practice for them. And then we'll do our host divisions, our own cars on the Sunday. And then we run practices on Thursday or Friday nights throughout the summer for folks that want to come in, I guess, a day early for the event and get a little bit of track time.
Can you believe it? It's less than a month away.
Oh, I know.
Time's a flying, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. We just haven't quite got a grip on spring yet here, like yourselves. You know, we get a nice day, and then we seem to get two bad ones. The temperature really hasn't jumped yet.
No.
And we're still, like today was a beautiful sunny day, but it was only zero.
It's
not ideal racing. But you know what, when it turns quick. And long weekend in May has always been a sunny weekend in Petit Kodiak, New Brunswick, so we're hoping for the same thing this year.
Fingers crossed, right? That's all you can do.
That's all we can do.
Hey, one thing, Craig, I always love hearing from the promoters aspect and taking a look. Obviously, there's some young talent coming into the sport at every track across Ontario, across Canada, across the United States. There's always some young talent that's coming in. Throw out a couple of names that maybe we haven't heard of that race at Petty on a regular schedule that are maybe young and moving up through the ranks.
Well, we got some great late model drivers. I mean, we got two young ladies actually running late models in New Brunswick, and that's Courtney and Alexandra Oblinas. Young Kenny McKenzie Jr., who is 21, who won our points championship last year, and won multiple races. Russell Smith Jr., who you know is jumped between the late model sportsman and the pro stock car, doing very well in both.
Nice.
Went taking a lot of money in his late model, getting his feet wet in the pro stock. But you know, great young talent coming up through, and the ones that are already on the tour with the Butcher Boys and Blinkhorn and Noggle, and you know, the list goes on. And I believe young Farrell's going to be joining the fray this year in the pro. It's like the sport is very bright in the Maritimes, for sure.
Incredible. You mentioned Russi Jr. That kid is amazing to watch in a race car.
Oh, you know what? It's the only thing between a successful season, pro stock season, and with Russi is a sponsor.
Yeah.
If somebody would jump on and help this kid, they'd win races.
Yeah, just
great situation, they'll win races.
So many bright stars, and so much to look forward to. I know we can't wait to get out of the box and get 2018 underway. We've been talking about it since like January. I can't wait to get started.
Yeah, it's close now. It's just around the corner.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Craig, I know we look forward to it. If fans need any more information, how do they look you guys up?
We have our Facebook page, which we get good traffic through, which we respond to messages very quickly there. You can email us through our website at pettyraceway.com. And that's pretty well the best way to get us.
Yeah. Season's tickets. Do you guys do that at the racetrack? Can fans get season's tickets?
No, we've never dabbled with the season ticket thing because, you know, if somebody comes along and wants to add a show to our schedule, you know, we're open. So, you know, if something's there that's feasible to do, so you never know what you're going to see at Petty. We try to stick to our dates that are on there, but, you know, if somebody comes with something they want to do, then we add it. So it's pretty hard to, you know, it's pretty hard to do a season ticket when you're, you know, when I guess you're really not really solidly set on your schedule. But
yeah,
we're pretty good. We're 13, and I don't think Wayne will want to do any more than that.
Yeah, no kidding. And the value's always there. So fans get their money's worth when they walk through that gate.
Oh, for sure. And we do a lot of, we got four double dates on, and most of the Friday night dates are $10 nights. You can see some great side-by-side, like entry-level racing with the minis and the street stocks, and then stay over till Saturday night and see the big boys go and pound down some lap times.
Well, I even heard J.R. Fitzpatrick maybe stopping in that way on one of his trips east. That'd be kind of cool if J.R. pops his head in there.
Yeah, I heard the same rumor. It'd be nice to see JR there. You know, we don't get a lot of visiting cars, like visiting drivers from really out of the Maritimes. So it's really nice to see. We're looking forward to the Pro All-Star Series and the lap times they can put down there. So, you know, and to see JR come down for one of the Maritime Pro Stock Tour races, yeah, that's really nice to hear those type of rumors, for sure.
Yeah, kind of cool. I think the word's getting out that you guys are out there. That's what needs to happen.
It's hard, isn't it? You know, it's 8 years, and you know what? I've seen people at the car show this weekend and say, huh? You guys are, you know, open?
Yeah.
So I don't know how you do it, but like I said, racing, down here, I think it's on a little bit of an upslide here again, and I think the future's bright for stock car racing if we continue to offer the fans things they want to see, and the drivers come out and put on great shows like they've been doing. I really believe the future's bright.
Well, you guys are definitely molding things so that there is a future in this sport. Good on you guys for doing it. And I know everybody looks forward to getting out to Petty International Raceway this summer, bud.
I appreciate it.
You bet, Craig. Thanks so much for your time tonight. Go relax. Take those shoes off. Put them up. Those puppies will be sore after being at a show all weekend.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to sit here and watch a good Canadian Winnipeg team win a hockey game.
Yeah, hey, those Jets are doing pretty good, aren't they?
Yeah, they're up 2-0, and I believe that, this isn't going to go any more than 5 games.
Well, you know what? Things can return to normal back in New Brunswick and all out there soon. We got Brad Mann stuck in Ontario. We'll get him back out there, and I don't know, maybe the Leafs will win the next time.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be nice to see the Toronto Maple Leafs play the Winnipeg Jets in the Stanley Cup final?
Wouldn't that be
dreamer.
I'll
Such
tell
a dreamer.
I don't know if racing could ever take hold till after that happens, because that would be June.
Yeah, exactly. Would be incredible. Craig, it's been great, buddy. You have a good one.
All right, thanks, guys.
You bet. Petty International Raceways, where you want to check out this year. Sounds like they got a lot of good stuff coming, Junior.
Yeah, definitely. And the Pro Stock Tour, obviously, they're excited, to get out there for a couple of dates and as well the Pass Series, man. I have seen the Pass Series race at a couple different tracks now, and they roll in with a big show, and they get after it. Lots of big names, obviously on the north side. They have a massive contingent from the Maritimes in the northern states, and then as well even into the lower mainland in Canada. So looking forward to seeing what the Pass guys can do, and I think a quarter mile racetrack is such a cool racetrack for those Pass guys. They'll get after it. They'll put on a good show, and that's a nice, tight little racetrack out in Petty. So I imagine there's going to be some a little bit of tempers flaring after that one.
Yeah, well, you can bet guys like Jonathan Hicken are going to show up, and a lot of the Pro Stock Tour guys, a lot of them really enjoy getting to Petty International Raceway.
Absolutely.
And, they love being there for the tour events. But if they get a chance to go in there and run a big special like the Mike Stevens Memorial, I know those guys love going to that race. And this one here sounds like it's going to be a great one as well. I hope Pass comes up here with a pile of race cars. Add in
Me
a
too.
Pile that we've got in Canada and really turn it into something. That would be kind of cool. But
it would be for sure.
We're going to hit a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to one of those Pro Stock Tour drivers that is out on that East Coast. Steve Halpin's coming up in the next segment. But Junior and I are going to stop out, take a quick break. We'll be back. Stay right there.
Hi, this is Kirk Hooker, the driver of the Country View Golf Course 38 car. You're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening
to Canada Talks.
The stars of the parts for trucks. Maritime Pro Stock Tour. Return to Scotia Speed World.
One of the best competitive opening days that we've ever seen.
Coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the Cummins 150.
Hey, there's a lot of fast cars here today.
Saturday, May 26th.
I'm so glad to be back here. Try to get to the front, I guess.
Boys, this thing's going to be good.
It's the Cummins 150, live from Scotia Speed World.
The car control in the front of the field is incredible.
In Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Going to be a lot of close racing.
It's live flight-to-flight coverage worldwide. Only on racetimeradio.com.
It's all about consistency that wins the championship.
Get to scotiaspeedworld.ca for tickets and info for the Cummins 150.
But you got to be there at the end.
Hello, I'm Bruce Selry, host of Moolala, Money Made Simple. My mission is to help you get a better handle on your money so you can live the life you want. Not an easy task, what with all the jargon out there and the pressure to cover the bills, save a little, and live a good life. So tune in for a fresh spin on money. We'll talk about saving, spending, investing, organizing, and taking action so you can afford more of what you love. Moolala, Money Made Simple, every weekend on Canada Talks, Channel 167, Sirius XM.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca. And by Bobbleheads Canada. Visit BobbleheadsCanada.ca.
Catch National Post Radio with Anthony Fury on Canada Talks.
Sue Ann Levy, Toronto Sun writer.
Donations were down. Their sponsorships were way, way down. Their donations were down to 100,000 from 800,000 or 700,000. And everything was down. And they refused to believe that the police band had anything to do with it.
Tune into National Post Radio weekdays at 7 a.m. Eastern on Canada Talks. Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up, left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off, too!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app.
From the high banks of Daytona to the snow banks in Canada, we cover it all. Ooh, that's going to leave a mark. And now, back to the Joes.
Hey, shake and bake, Cal. Woo, shake and bake.
And here on Racetime Radio.
Ah, the sound of those cars flying by. I can't wait for that, Junior. It won't be long.
Well, the sound of the cars today was intermittent at best at Bristol.
Yeah, big time,
man,
wasn't it?
Man, that is so heartbreaking for everybody down there. You know, there's there's going to be a lot of negativity about the crowd that's at the crowd size that's at Bristol.
Yeah, pretty amazing. Before we jump into that, I want to let you know we got a little bit of time here before we grab Steve Halpin.
Yeah.
So let's open the phone lines. Open phone lines for the next 10, 15 minutes. 888-572-2384. The number again, 888-572-2384. What's on your mind? Give us a call. We'll get you on the air here. But as mentioned, Junior, I guess the guys will be back at Bristol tomorrow to finish this
Correct.
Baby off.
Yeah, green flag drops at 1 o'clock over there, and praying for a little bit of better weather over at over at Bristol. Obviously, today they got just short little 40-lap runs, and Mother Nature kept stepping on them. So
incredible.
In all fairness, it's good because they were only 46 laps away. If they would have made the 46 laps, it would have been a shortened race. I think everybody that likes Bristol wants to see the whole thing play out, see who ends up in victory lane after 500 laps as opposed to, 265 laps.
Right,
but,
right.
I think that the overall race today, watching it, man, they were getting after it.
They were,
There's a lot of really good racing.
There was no problem with the product on the track.
No.
None.
The race itself, they're getting after it. There was lots of aggression coming out. Obviously, we've seen, some bent fenders and a lot of people getting stacked up. And it's kind of the old style of Bristol. It's funny because the old style of Bristol, there's like 10 different old styles now because they keep changing it every time they show up there.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
just the way that they're applying the new sticky compound, of course, they expanded it from how they did it last time. And they've been playing with that option a little bit. And by the sounds of it, the rain is really going to take that away. So it'll be interesting. See if they apply it again overnight, when the rain gets stopped tonight, whether they reapply it or how that's going
to
work.
But, is it supposed to be sunny tomorrow there, they say?
Yeah.
It is going to be sunny.
The weather looks pretty good tomorrow,
yeah.
So it'll be interesting. But I think that's why they started a little bit later. Just it looks like there's a little bit of rain in the area for the morning, but we'll see. We'll see how everything shapes up. They've had a rough go with weather this year.
Yeah, NASCAR has. Every time they turn around, they've got rain to deal with. And welcome to the wonderful world of racing. That's the way it goes sometimes, and they know that. And but you know what really shocked me was, as you mentioned, that the crowd was extremely, extremely small, non-existent, pretty well. And it sort of took me by surprise. It left me speechless, actually, when I seen. And I know you got weather conditions and everything else to deal with.
Yep.
But. And this is a big but. That place should have still had like 25 to 30% in there.
Yep.
Even with the rain conditions, even with the way things are, that was unexplainable to me. If it's not the product that NASCAR is putting on the racetrack. No,
I think that it is explainable to that degree, though. Bristol was a place that everybody loved. And every single fan loved Bristol. Mm-hmm. Every single race car driver hated Bristol when they walked out of it, and that's why every fan loved it. They changed the racetrack 10 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, whenever it was. They changed the racetrack, and they changed the way that it raced.
Yeah.
And ever since then, they've been changing it, and they're not changing it back to the old Bristol. And I don't think it's because they can't.
You couldn't but the buy fans, a ticket there. You
exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When they changed the recipe for Coca-Cola, it pissed a lot of people off, and a lot of people stopped drinking Coca-Cola for a long period of time.
Yes.
Whether they went back to it or whether they didn't, that pissed a lot of people off.
Yeah.
And I honestly think that it's still feeling the effects of that today at Bristol. I think if the old fans would just lighten up a little bit and take a look at it again. Well, it's not how it was. You know, it's not how the COT cars raced there, and they rode around the top with that slick racetrack, and then they polished it, and they did all those different things to the surface.
Right.
It changed the racing dramatically.
But you could race side by side. They were trying to make it better.
They were trying, but they failed.
Yeah.
In the fans' eyes, and really even in the driver's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And today, I think the racing is closer to what it used to be. And they're getting after it again.
You couldn't get much better than what we seen today when the cars were on track. You couldn't get much better than what we seen today. That was entertaining. It was good racing. It had something in there for everybody.
It was for sure entertaining. But, you know, you still see it today. The cars can still race side by side at Bristol.
Yep.
You can do it.
Yep.
And obviously now it's a little bit harder. You can get loose. You can get sideways. You can get into the guy up on top. And it still creates that excitement aspect. But, you know, it wasn't any more than about 10 years ago. And you could not race side by side.
Yeah.
If two cars got side by side, everybody stopped what they were doing, zeroed in, and focused on those two cars because they knew stuff was about to happen.
Yeah. Well,
right?
Jeff Gordon talked about it today in the broadcast.
Yes.
Back in the old days when you ran at Bristol, you ran nose to tail.
Yep.
And the only way by was to give that guy a nudge. That was the only way by.
Or if the guy messed up and missed his mark.
Right, right,
right. You missed your mark, you grab the apron, you wash up, and you would lose 10 spots, 15 spots, because everybody was going the same speed behind you, and you were holding everybody up.
Yeah.
And really, it created this sense of urgency and this, you know, this the excitement level was through the roof, because you would hold somebody up. I think some of the most exciting racing out there is when a guy is holding off two or three fast cars behind him, and he's holding them up. You know, I think of a race at Delaware Speedway, mm-hmm. and this is just an example. I'm just throwing it out there.
Right.
I think of a race, and obviously I'm biased because I was part of the crew, right?
Right.
I was with Andrew Grizel spotting for him, and Andrew Grizel was turning consistent 18.6 laps,
right.
lap times.
Yep.
Or, sorry, 19.6 lap times.
19.6.
He was holding off Robley. He was holding off Sheridan. He was holding off the 86 car, whoever it was, Kenny McKnight. I don't know who it was, but it was the 86 car.
Kenny Forth. Yep.
And he was also holding off Erlen. And Pertigo and
right.
Jamie Cox.
Yep.
And they were all in a line behind him.
Mm-hmm.
He was holding everybody up. But the race was exciting as hell.
Yeah.
And the guys that were behind him were way faster, but they couldn't get by him. And that's how Bristol used to be. And that's how you race it at a short track like Martinsville. And Martinsville was exciting this year.
Yeah, it was. It was a great race. Do you think it's got anything to do, the lack of attendance, do you think it's got anything to do with 37 cars taking the green flag opposed to 43?
I don't think that changes anything, to be honest with you. I think that the obvious lack of excitement by not having enough cars is definitely something that changes the way everything plays out. But really, when you look at it, there's six teams out there. And mm-hmm. that have a shot at doing anything
right.
at winning.
Right.
Those six teams own 32 cars.
Yeah.
Not that they own 32 cars, but they're attached to 32 cars.
Right, right.
Back in the day, there used to be 40 cars. There might have been
43.
There was only three teams with multiple cars.
Yeah.
There was only three teams with multiple cars, so they had two or three cars.
Well,
but you had 20 teams that that were all racing. You had 25 teams that were all racing, and you know, there wasn't just six of them.
Right.
That are going the same speed that don't want to step on each other. Ryan Newman does not want to run into the back of Austin Dillon for obvious reasons.
Right.
To be honest with you, Kyle Busch doesn't want to run into the back of Martin Truex for obvious reasons. It still happens once in a while. But really, when you look at the Pinty series, has, you know, a very diverse ownership group on the cars on track.
Yeah.
Lots of different ownership groups. And really, you know, they get after it on the racetrack. And you see Steckley's cars get into Steckley's cars.
Yeah.
And you see DJ Kennington cars get into DJ Kennington cars.
Yeah.
Everybody's stepping on each other to get to the win.
Right.
And you don't see that as much anymore. And that's something that I think in the Xfinity race the day before.
Yeah, Saturday's
all those
race
guys,
was a dandy.
There was no Cup guys in the show.
Right.
Everybody is stepping on each other trying to get to the front, and we've seen one of the best Xfinity races that I've seen in a long time the day before.
Yeah, it was dynamite. Got to put it out to Alex Labbe, Mario Gosselin, that whole group, that 36 group. Again, another learned weekend for them.
Top 15,
and
man.
They started to move up. That's cool to see.
Absolutely.
Really, really cool to see. Ryan Preece ended up winning it. Did a real good job. Picked up $100,000. Here's what he had to say.
Huh? Really good. I don't think you can say winning $100,000 isn't good, but I know what it's going to do for me with my life, and I can officially say I'm going to be paid off with everything that I risked last year, and this is a big day for me. But one thing I want to point out to everybody right here, this guy right here gave me a real, real great set of match tires there at the end, and they came through for me.
Yeah, he's talking about his crew chief, Phillips.
Absolutely.
They did have a great car. NASCAR K&N was also there over the weekend, and it was Todd Gilliland going to victory lane. Here's what Todd had to say in the media center.
Yeah, it means so much. Going in, I still remember our first race at Phoenix. We qualified eighth, and we really had no expectations going in there. We were having a good day running second, and then the leader had an issue, and we ended up winning. But I think once you get that first one out of the way, you just kind of get that winning feeling, and you kind of just know what it's like and all that. So I feel like that really set the tone for for the next few races, and then for the last two seasons, I've just driven for really great teams. They've brought me really fast cars every week, and I wish we would have got off to the start last year.
Yeah, that was his 20th win of 50 starts. That's where I should have prefaced it before I hit that clip. But that was his 20th win in 50 starts. Pretty good success.
Yeah, Todd Gilliland is putting down some crazy numbers. And really, when you look at the previous guys who are now in Cup that came through the same ranks that Todd Gilliland is coming through, nobody holds a candle to what this kid is doing.
No.
When you look at Ryan
good.
Blaney, Ryan Blaney did not put the numbers up even close to where Todd Gilliland is. Chase Elliott didn't. You list the names. Kyle Larson didn't. The names go on and on of guys who didn't put the numbers up that Todd Gilliland is putting up. And really, right on his heels is another kid that's also started to lay down some crazy numbers, and that's Harrison Burton.
Yeah, and we've got a clip with him. He finished second. Here he is.
Crazy, I guess, is a word for it. Just the final 18 restarts or whatever it was. We kept getting going, and then kept wrecking and going under red flags. So all of them were crazy, and I was going back and forth between third and fourth, and just wanted to get a shot at him. And I think we had a good long run car, just struggled on the short runs, kind of like Noah was talking about, but I was too loose and he was too tight. So after about four or five laps, we came on really good, and I thought we were probably the strongest car out there, but it just wasn't enough time, and I'm disappointed, but happy that I am disappointed with second, you know?
Yeah, Noah Gregson ended up third. He did start the race on the pole, but sound like it was quite a K&N race. You'll want to catch that one when it's broadcast. Don't know when, but you'll want to catch it.
Yeah, it's usually the following week on NBCSN, and they do a great job with it on tape delay, obviously. But by the sounds of it, from everybody that I talked to and everything that I've seen from social media, it sounded like it was a gong show of a race, and it typically is. That racetrack is tough on K&N equipment.
Well, all three, right? You got the Xfinity race, had a record number of cautions.
Yep.
K&N, and look at the Cup race today. Now, a lot of the stoppages were for rain, but there was still a lot of twisted metal, and we still got lots of racing left to do. tomorrow at 1 o'clock.
Absolutely, yep. And when you look at the overall landscape in K&N right now, there's a lot of people that are trying to make a name for themselves, and that's usually what creates carnage.
Yeah, it does. Lots of competition, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, we're going to hit this break. When we come back, Steve Halpin will be with us live tonight on Race Time. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Brian Mercer, driver of the number 81 Science Pouring late model. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
Whatever gets you through the night.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam.
If you stop for 1 minute and think that you're going to stay ahead, you are absolutely kidding yourself, because everybody in that garage is trying to catch up. So as a team, when you have an advantage, you have to make sure that you motivate your people and make sure you reiterate to your people, we have to keep pushing forward, because if you sit on your hands, you will get left behind in this deal in about 6 weeks.
Happy Hours with Kevin Harvick and Matt Yoakam. Heard exclusively on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.
We've got the latest in gadgets, the coolest apps, and some weird ones, too. Plus, we'll keep you up to date with the hottest online trends.
With some of the world's top entrepreneurs and tech experts joining us from around the world for a look at innovation and how technology can make our lives easier.
The Feed with Amber Mack and Michael B will keep you socially speaking on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, and beyond.
Catch us on SiriusXM Canada Talks, Channel 167.
Race Time Radio.
Only on SiriusXM 167.
We get you closer.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side up.
Jimmy Johnson's blowing the race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app. Got the need for speed.
They're racing door to door in turn four.
Then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio here on SiriusXM Channel 167. Hello to everyone at the Performance Motorsportnetwork.com and, of course, everyone at Gearhead Country Radio. So glad you could all tune in. I'm Joe Chisholm along with Junior. We're going to go right back to the hotline and welcome in our next guest. I haven't spoke to this guy in a couple of years. I'm really looking forward to this one. Got to welcome to the show driver of the 03 Pro Stock. We got Steve helping with us. Steve, what's going on? How you doing, bud?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing?
Doing fantastic, man. It's good news to see that you got that 03 ready to rock.
Yeah, we're pretty excited to get back and do some racing.
Yeah, good stuff. You got a schedule all laid out on what you're going to be doing this year?
Yep. Well, we're kind of touch and go with it. Three of our guys there work shift work, and we're kind of in the construction season, which is our busy season. So, we're planning on doing a few first races of the tour, and going to do some three 250s, I think, and take it as it comes.
Yeah, do a little picking and choosing, do a little cherry picking. That's not a bad thing to do, Steve. You guys got a great team put together there.
Yeah, no, we have fun with it. The points racing's fun and stuff, but there's a lot of pressure involved with that. And the funds really aren't there for us, and we have fun just picking the races we can go to, and we can get the whole crew there and have some fun with it.
Now, you say that, but if you get out to the first few tour events and you start doing real good, and by chance leading things, it'll be a little hard to stay home.
Yeah, it probably would.
He'd be full-time at that point.
Yeah, we'll cross that bridge when it gets there, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, if by chance we win the first couple races, might be a different story. But, you know, it's stiff competition. So, I mean, we'll see.
Good stuff. Steve, tell us about the 03. Is that a brand-new car you got now, or is that your car that's been totally redone? What do we got?
No, it's a brand new one there. Dean built for us there, CRF chassis. We got it done there last summer. It's a brand new chassis. We took the whole year off there last year just for that reason, just to build a new car. And, we had to save some money there to upgrade our stuff. We weren't getting the finishes, and it seemed like every time we'd have a good run going, there'd be something that would break or something like that. So we kind of sat down, and we even have talked about going back to Sportsman, but I mean, you know, we really want to do the pro stock thing. You know, it's where the competition is, and it's fun racing. So we ended up going with Dean, and he's really helped us out there above and beyond, you know, and he's been on the phone with Jeff, and like him and Jeff are, well, Jeff's the dealer for him in our area.
Mm-hmm.
So we went with the new car, and we're pretty excited to get on the track.
Yeah, Dean Clattenburg, what a competitor, what a builder, man. He knows what he's doing. He turns out some good stuff.
Yeah, he's really hands-on too. So, I mean, I'm really excited we went with him with the chassis and stuff. He's been real good to us, so can't say enough about him with this new chassis, so I hope it turns out for the both of us.
Steve, talk to us a little bit about the switch going to a new chassis. Obviously, you know, working with what you had before, and now you usually have to pick up a lot of different parts and pieces when you're building a new chassis, just with new technologies and different things like that. What's the learning curve been for you with that as you kind of input the new changes to your racing program?
Well, the car we had before, it was one that Jeff actually built, and it was based off a CRF chassis, so, like, a lot of the front-end geometry is the same, like the spindles and, you know, all that stuff and is pretty much the same, but this is more, like, up-to-date, and the rear end's a little different, so it really wasn't a big change in that sense for us. But it's more up to date, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Absolutely.
So you'll be one excited cat to get out and do some practice in that new ride.
Yeah, for sure. Super pumped to get out there and turn some laps with it, which I'm kind of glad they're the season opener for the Tours in Petty, which is only an hour away for us. So hopefully we can get some tests in and shake the car down there and, instead of going to Halifax, you know, we wouldn't be able to travel 4 hours to go test. So, you know, I'm kind of excited for that and see how it turns out.
Steve, obviously you've got some new equipment, but we've talked to probably about 10 guys in the past 10 weeks that have also got some new iron sitting in the shop. Talk to us a little bit about the influx in the Tour itself of new equipment. This has got to be one of the biggest years for teams switching up and getting into some new pieces.
Yeah, well, I mean, the competition's always stiff in that series anyways. I mean, everyone's always upgrading their stuff and, you know, trying to keep up with the latest and greatest. So, I mean, there's nothing new there really, I guess, but, I mean, yeah, this year it seems like there's a lot of young drivers and stuff coming into it, with a lot of great gear. So, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, that's why we're doing it. Like, that's why we upgraded all our stuff, just kind of keep up with the Joneses sort of thing.
If you're just tuned in to Race Time Radio, welcome aboard. We have race car driver Steve Halpin with us. Drives the 03. You can catch him at the Maritime Pro Stock Tour this summer, the Parts for Trucks Tour. He's going to be at selected events. Steve, tell us about the crew you got put together. You guys have been together for a while. You got any new guys? Give us some names.
Yeah, no, my buddy, me and my buddy Jeff there, we've basically been buddies since grade three. He started his own business there, GD Fabrication, and he's been the heart and soul of the team, really. Like, he puts together more things than not. So I can't thank him enough. And I got my buddy Mike Boyle and Kyle Touchburn, my cousin Matt helping, and Alan Munn and Mark Harris, all them boys, they all, you know, they're pretty dedicated, and I can't say enough. I can't thank them enough for helping me out as they do.
What do you got for colors this year? Have you got it all painted up, lettered, all ready to go that way, or is that still in process?
She's pure black right now. We're kind of in the mix there right now of, you know, design and what we're going to do. She'll probably be pretty basic, just the numbers and sponsors and stuff, but we're thinking maybe a little bit of fluorescent yellow or something, maybe a little standout.
you always come up with a good car.
You don't seem like the type for fluorescence, though. Every car that I've ever seen from you is just a classy, clean. You should be Steve McLean. That's what your your nickname should be, because every one of your cars has been a very clean and very simple, but yet classy
basic
car.
Yeah.
Basic.
No, I mean it's less maintenance, I guess. But you know, we want to stand out for the right reasons, I guess. We'll see. Want to go with something a little different this year, you know, a new car and stuff, and hopefully look a little different. But nothing too flashy, that's for sure.
Is it going to be a Chevrolet? Is it a Chevy, a Ford, a Dodge?
Yep.
What do you got?
No, she's a Chevrolet, yep.
Yeah, good stuff. So the body, what, Impala?
Yep. It'll be a Chevrolet Impala this year. Unless we can get a big sponsor from any other manufacturer.
Well, you peel those stickers off in a hurry at that point, right?
Pretty quick, yeah.
Incredible. Yeah, so your first race out of the box is going to be Petty International Raceway. You're going to go to that one first. Are we going to see you at Scotia Speed World for the season opener there?
Yeah. I think we're going to do the first few tour races. We're basically, you know, like I said, touch and go, but I'd like to get a race in before we reach 250, like Halifax and Antigonish and Gary sort of thing. So we're kind of just playing it around that way.
And maybe grab Dean and pull him up out of the U.S. to help you out, or what?
Yeah, well, it could happen. We haven't set nothing in stone yet, for sure, but I definitely love to get him down and maybe come to Antigonish or Halifax with us. And he'd be a great help. He's, you know, he's wicked smart with the cars, but he's also a good driver coach, and which is something that we could really benefit from, I think.
Well, you know your way around these tracks. I've watched you. You can get her done. It'd be kind of cool, though, to have Dean with you and pick up on some stuff. There's no rust on you. You only took a year off.
Yeah. No, I know for sure, but... you know, any little tip here and there helps for sure. You know, you can't take nothing away from him, that's for sure.
Yeah, and a brand new car, too. Things could feel different, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm kind of, you know, we're expecting a little bit of different feel and change and stuff. But want to get some good, you know, a few tests in it there, get the bugs worked out of the thing, and, you know, figure out what it likes and what it doesn't sort of thing. And get myself comfortable and the car comfortable. So, I mean, I'm sure we're gonna have a few tweaks here and there, but you know, we got some good guys behind us, and Dean's one phone call away, and he knows that car inside and out. So, and as well as Jeff, like they talk every day, basically. So,
long distance phone plan pays off.
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Steve, a lot of the guys in the Maritimes have, and they dabble through the off season in iRacing. I know you guys have like a tour set up out there. Do you ever partake in that? I know there's quite a few of the Maritime guys that jump on, do some late model racing through the winter on iRacing, but do you ever join the guys, the little clique with that?
No.
Not at all?
The most practice I get is about go-kart racing there. It's a local
Nice. Indoor.
Maybe in Halifax, the indoor track every once in a while.
Right on.
So you just keep it in the shop and keep working on the one that you're actually going to get out and race.
Yeah, exactly. No, I've never tried the iRacing thing there, though. I'd love to try it, but I can't say I have.
That's cool. I have partaken quite a few times. I used to love iRacing, I know, you know, I would jump into a room and it was funny because there would always be, you know, like Tim Terry and then it would be random, but there would be a bunch of the young guys jump in, you know, on the late model racing side. Remember, you know, guys like Dale Shaw from Ontario and Blankhorn and all those guys used to jump into all these rooms apparently there was a Maritime, we'll have to talk to Tim Terry about it, but he used to have a Maritime Pro Stock Tour type of a little, you know, league of legends in the wintertime, but I just didn't know whether you were part of that or not.
No, I haven't, but I've definitely heard of it, and it would definitely be cool to try, for sure. I've heard of a lot of guys, they're trying it, and it's saying it helped with their racing program, just keeping sharp, you know. There's not a whole lot of tracks around here that have it, I don't think. Like, I heard Oxford has it. But as far as like Halifax or Antigonish stuff, it'd be pretty cool if you get those tracks on it. I would definitely partake in it.
You'd be on it all the time,
yeah,
then.
Get those tracks loaded up. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, as many laps as I can.
How's the sponsorship coming on the 03? You got it all sealed up?
Well, actually, we're working on a couple little things here and there, but we're definitely open to any of them. We got AJ Millett and Sons. He's been with us since day one, and can't say enough about them. He's helped me out, you know, tremendously. And, of course, I'll help in excavating there. That's mine and my father's company there. And Boyle Construction and GD Fabrication and CRF Chassis there so far this year. But to definitely take on some more, there's lots of room on the car.
Absolutely, and they get a good ride with you, Steve. I know we look forward to the kickoff to the year. To see you back at a Pro Stock in the Maritime Pro Stock Tour is going to be kind of cool, brother.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited to see everybody else and hopefully get up there and run up front with the boys.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for your time tonight on Race Time. We sure do appreciate it, and we look forward to that first race in Petty, and definitely we'll catch up with you at Scotia Speed World. I'm looking forward to it, Steve-O.
Yeah, thanks a lot. I'm looking forward to it, too.
You bet. That's Steve Halpin. He's getting ready for 2018. Brand new piece, Junior.
Yeah, for sure. I remember, you know, it was my first race out there, and we did the night before, we did the sportsman race in the fog. It was really foggy, like super foggy. And we ended up, you know, the next day was the Pro Stock Tour race, and it was my first one. And really, I walked into the pits with Tim Terry just down through the pit gate, and they were the first car that I stopped at. And I said, wow. Look at this.
Yeah.
Look at this. And he was the first car. Like, the 03 was the first car that I walked over to. He was parked, you know, right alongside the back gate at Scotia Speed World. And I was blown away. And obviously, you're blown away at the rest of them, too, right, at
right.
that
yeah,
point.
Yeah.
But it was my first time there. I'd been in a lot of different late model pit areas all across Ontario, all across the United States as well. And the first time walking in, though, it's still, you know, I still remember walking up to that 03 car. And that team has got their stuff together. And if it was any other program, I'd say a different thing they've got together.
Yeah, no kidding.
Just a great bunch of guys, too.
Yeah, you want to believe it. Can't wait for those guys to show up in the pits and go up against the best. I'm going to say the best super late model drivers that I've seen in Canada in that Maritime Pro Stock Tour. It's going to be awesome. Can't wait for that first race.
I can't get over the new iron.
Yeah.
The amount of new cars being built out in the Maritimes, and this is the stuff that we're hearing. It's not the stuff that's all out there. You know, we're missing stuff here.
Yeah.
And like, there's a lot of new cars being built.
Yeah, and we're going to try and get to as many of those as possible. But what we got to do is throw back to Toronto, get you up to date on some news and some highlights. And then hour number two will begin here on Racetime Radio. I'll tell you right now, we got Gary Elliott, the Iron Man, coming up in hour number two, along with Ryan Kimball. And we got Sean Grossman. We're going to take him out of his dinner meeting and he's going to join us live tonight on Race Time. Looking forward to hour two, and we're going to get it underway in just 90 seconds from right now. We'll be back with you in just a couple of moments. Stay with us here on Race Time Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on.
Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Check a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side off.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing! The race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app. With the two Joes
here on Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167,
where Canada talks.
Boom! And just like that, hour number two begins tonight on Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight. Really do appreciate it each and every Sunday night. And don't forget, Race Time Radio now available on iTunes. Just get to the iTunes store and go to our podcast. If you happen to have missed the whole show, you can go back or get to racetimeradio.com. You can always click on there and listen on demand or the Performance Motorsport Network.com or Gearhead Country Radio. And of course, keep it tuned right here to Sirius XM, channel 167 Canada Talks. Got to remind you, if you come to the IWK 250 and you've got a campsite, this is your last day to renew that campsite. You got to get that done. You don't want to lose your spot, or you don't want to pay the upcharge, because I believe some of those prices are going to start shooting up. So don't forget to do that. Get her done today. You don't want to miss the IWK 250. It's a party in itself. If you've never been to the IWK 250 and you want to check it out, get to riversidespeedway.ca. And all the information is there, but you definitely want to take that in. Also want to let you know that premium seating is going to be on sale online, and it's online now with a deadline of April the 30th for renewals. So premium seating for the IWK 250. You can get your tickets now at riversidespeedway.ca. Or if it's not there, they will direct you to the right spot.
Absolutely. Yeah. And definitely we got to throw a big shout out to DJ Kennington and the Gaunt Brothers guys.
No kidding.
And as well to Michael Annette for running the Humboldt Broncos decal this weekend.
Yes.
DJ, of course, running the entire hood of his 96 car in the Cup Series race at Bristol. Just a big, you know, massive shout of Canadian pride there, it's really cool to see the racing community, and not just DJ running it on the hood and not just the Gaunt Brothers for doing it, but really the entire NASCAR media team for
yes.
actually covering it and showing the support. Really, they did a great job in Fox, of course, in the rain delay. They talked to DJ, you know, covered off the story and as well, you know, even in the broadcast, you know, mentioning it and really throwing it out there and caring. That's the coolest
yes.
part.
Yeah.
Is seeing the racing community, obviously everybody leaving their sticks out at night and remembering those kids, but just a massive show of respect from the racing community. So hats off to them.
How about DJ? He did that interview today on Fox just like a crafty old veteran. He fits.
He does.
Don't care how you stack it up. DJ fits right there.
He does for sure.
We don't want to lose him out of Canada. We love him in the Pinty Series.
Yep.
But I'll tell you what, he fits in that Cup garage quite nicely.
Yeah, and the Gaunt brothers doing a great job with it too. You know,
they sure are.
They got damage right off the bat, but I think they were shaping up to be real good right off the beginning of the race, and just hats off to them. I think they're growing something pretty special there, Marty Gaunt and that team. They're definitely taking a swing at it, and you can see it.
Yeah, you sure can. You can catch the rest of that race tomorrow at 1 o'clock, live from Bristol. But let's get back to the hotline. I love talking to this next guest. He is celebrating 50 years behind the wheel of his race car. He's reached 800 consecutive nights at ACC 2017 last night. But let's bring him in right now. We got Gary Elliott. What's going on, Gary? How you doing?
Hey, very good, Joe. How are you guys?
Doing real good. ACC Autumn Colors Classic. Got it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right on. That was a memorable night for many reasons. Obviously, the one was for reaching 800 consecutive nights. And the other one was I was able to take around the Rocketman's ashes to do one trip around the track for Ron.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a favorite at the track. He was a starter there. He was so it was a great tribute to him and an honor for me to be able to do one lap with his ashes mounted inside my modified, and then they were singing Amazing Grace while we were going around the track. So
it was awesome.
It was an awesome day, and we had a great run too. I look back at some of my stats, and when I think about my day one, wherever I might have finished in the feature, in the top five or six or seven, and then I finished fourth that night. So I was just crazy pumped.
I wouldn't doubt it, Gary. How about the stats on you, kid? Man, 1,243 career nights. That's off the hook.
Well, you know what? I just love to race, and that's the bottom line. I don't win all the time, but I can race all the time. And I just love to race. I want to race as much as I can. And back in the day, we used to race 30 times a year, and the vintage modifieds, the hobby club. And then, as I guess starting around the late 2000s, 2007, 2008, and later, a lot of tracks were running more specials and less late model shows. So we weren't getting as many home track races. So I ended up buying an Oscar modified in 2014 so I could run 10 late model races and 14 modified so I could keep I need about 25 nights a year to be happy.
To satisfy you. Yeah, I can see that. A little bit of racing ADD is what you're loaded with, buddy.
I am. And I'm so pumped about this year. And actually, I guess because when you start running and, you just keep running and running, finally you stop, you don't realize how much ground you've covered. And, I've been a couple of times I've thought about things and, I just think, holy cow, 50 years, that's unbelievable. I mean, even for me to say that, I just think it's that I've survived that way and how, there's some things you never lose passion for.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, racing has been just something, it's about people. It's about a sport that I can participate in from the time I'm 15 to, maybe even 12 nowadays, but I can participate in it at any age right up till, I'm 60 now, so
yeah.
I wish.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I'm saying I wish I was 60.
Yeah. Gary, you are Canada's version of Morgan Shepherd, and not to put Morgan down, but Gary, you're competitive still.
Yes, absolutely. I finished, and I'm thankful that I am, but I am. I don't just go for a ride. Now, I admit when I'm in my late model, because it's 15 years old, I can't keep up with the new late models. I just can't keep up with the cars. We're running the same lap times we did when that car was strong 4 or 7 or 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
That car was built in 2004, so it's 15 years old this year. It would be in its 15th season, so I've parked that car. It's no more going to be a race car, but it's going to be a two-seater, so I can take people for
drives around the track. So that's when I did the back car.
Mm-hmm.
So because, you know what, the new geometry, the new styles, the new cars, the new technology, all of those things are making cars go so much faster now. And it really is a money thing now. Like, it's hard to keep up with spending that much money. And I want to have fun. So my modified now is just the opposite. It's a 2000 chassis, but it still keeps up. You know, and it's, so we don't have to spend near the money on a modified that we do on a late, on the new Pro Late model, for sure.
Now,
so
did the modified technology, Gary, sort of go into a holding pattern? Like, did it reach its potential and that car is still good? Or is it a situation where, you know, you're making it up in other ways? Because I know you're competitive in that modified.
Well, one thing, we don't run bump stops. And I think the intervention of bump stops and stock car racing bump stops has caused all kinds of changes on the front end,
mm-hmm.
and suspension and the way cars are set up. So, and we're not allowed those. And I think that's kind of made, you know, kept parity in this series. And when I say parity, I mean, I'm not saying that the Pro Late models don't have parity, but you have to spend a lot of money to be parity with those. Like, you need to have a car 1 or 2 years old to be able to keep up with what's going on in that series. But on this one here, like, my car's a 2000 Troyer. And when I called Troyer to ask them about things, they said, no, that car will still work. Oh, my man, when would you ever think you'd ever hear that?
Yeah, not very often do you hear that out of a builder.
Well, no, especially when he found that the driver was 70. He said, wow. I said, that's what a combination that is.
Yeah.
But I'm just thankful. I mean, my car this year, I'm just so excited about it. It looks great. We just put gold wheels on it, shiny gold wheels with the paint scheme, and I'm going to post it on Facebook pretty soon. So you're the only one to get a picture of it.
Yeah.
It wasn't finished yet, but yeah, so I'm really looking forward to this year. I've got 28 races scheduled for me, and David and I are splitting the late model at Flamborough. He's going to drive 5, and I'm going to drive 5, and then I'm going to drive about 20 modified races of the full Oscar schedule, and I'm going to run half a dozen or more at Bernie.
Yeah, pretty incredible. Quaker State is back with you for a 45th season. That's got to be a record as well.
Oh, you know what? I've 100% of it. I can't believe that, you know, when I say I can't believe, I mean, that Richard Petty started with STP in 1972. I started with Quaker State in 1974. And I'm not comparing me to Richard Petty. I don't mean that, but I'm just saying because his sponsor's been a long time. He still has them, but he stopped racing in 1992. So in 1995, I had one more year than him as a driver with my sponsor. So now I'm up to 45 years as a driver with Quaker State. And that, I think you have to go to another universe, another planet to find that, because I don't think anybody anywhere in the world would have had a sponsor for 45 years.
Absolutely. No, 100%.
And you know what's funny? They called me in September and told me they're really happy with me. And they said, we're thinking of giving you a 3-year contract. And I started laughing. And she said, what are you laughing at? I said, well, I guess I finally got my probation period's over.
When your probation period's over after 45 years, well, after your 44th season, that's definitely a feather in the cap, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness. I'm so thankful. Yeah, thankful for all my sponsors. Lincoln's been with me for close to 15 years, and I got the PPG's been with me 4 years, and Permatex, and then I have a few other small businesses that sponsor me that they've been with me for 10 and 15 years, JDS Insurance and Grindstone Landscaping. So I'm able to keep sponsors for a long time just because I do more than what they expect. You know, I don't win all the time, but neither can everybody can't win all the time. You know, and Joe, 20 guys bought $80,000 race cars, and one of them guys finished 20th with an $80,000 race car.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the way it comes out.
Oh, yeah, you got to love to race. You got to want to race, and I do. And I'm so thankful. My crew, my family has been so supportive of me and able me to keep going. I couldn't do this all by myself, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But the driver has to want to do it, and everybody else stands there looking at him and say, what are you going to do? I'm not racing tomorrow. I'm done. You know, like if a guy... Because we get discouraged. Racers get discouraged.
Well,
I've said that when I stopped my car in the fence, but then the next one, by the time we got home, I started working on it already.
Yeah, and the guys also jump right in, right? You're a showman, though, Gary. You do a ton of shows, as many races as you do. You get up close and personal with the race fans as well. You do a lot of shows. I've seen you at Walmart, out on the East Coast. You're all over the place with those race cars.
I think we have to do that. I feel so bad for promoters now because of the crazy weather that we're having, and they're not being able to get their stuff ready. Like, they want to get their shows ready, their racetracks, get their, you know, all the kitchens running and get their, you know, this, you know, maybe repair seats or whatever they have to do. And when you get weather like this a week before practice day or 2 weeks before opening day, it really hurts them. So I feel bad for them, for what they're going through to try and get the season going. But, you know, I'll do whatever I can to support them. And that's why when I do shows, I promote my racetrack and my sponsors. But if, you know what? We all have to care about our sport.
We sure do.
The more you put in it, the better it is for everybody.
Well, Gary, one thing, you know, I said it last weekend, and we touched on it probably, I'm going to say, I guess it was 8 weeks ago now. We had a conversation with Dave Connolly, and I said that we wanted to do a show, you know, or a segment of a show dedicated to the marketers of Canadian auto racing, and you know, show people what the different, you know, people do to not only get sponsorship but retain it as well. And I put, you know, Alex Tagliani last week in that top five. For being able to retain sponsorship and gain sponsorship and create a brand for himself. But I would also put you in that top five, Gary, and really the job that you do, the job that Alex Tagliani does, and the job that Dave Connolly does, the three of you should get together and create a seminar, because I think it would benefit the entire sport of racing.
Well, I would be in. If you could set that up, I'd be 100% in for that.
I think that the job that you do, you know, just not at the racetrack, not just at the racetrack, but even the job that you do at the racetrack, making your guys look good, making the team look good, you know, making the hauler look good, and really talking to people and inviting people into your life, really is just the tip of the iceberg to what you guys do. You guys go out and you create an initiative for your partner, and really Quaker State, for them to be on you for that long, there's a reason for it, and it's because of the way that you go at it. It's a business for you. It's also a passion.
It's 100%, and what you're saying, it's a combination of both. And when I talked to Quaker State, before they told me about the three-year contract, I was talking to the lady from Houston, Texas. That's where they're from. And I said to her, I realized that it's not so much what I do on the racetrack that you care about is what I do off the track. And she said, you're 100% right. She said, we know only one guy can win a race. We also know only one guy can win a championship. If you're there and competing, you know, we're just happy that you're there, you know, and you're representing our brand. You're an ambassador for our company. But we really care about, what we really care about is what you do off the track. And she said, and we know you do a lot of stuff, and that's why. So they don't support me. And a lot of guys might say, you know, why they support him? Like, he hasn't won a championship in a long time, and he doesn't win a lot of races. And you know what? Quaker State says that's not why we sponsor him. So I'm happy about that, because I just love doing it. And sometimes it's really nice to know when you're doing something that you want to do that it happens to be the right thing to do as well.
Well, you're nailing it on all the corners, Gary Elliott. Let's talk about what you're going to do this year. You mentioned it, you and David. For listeners that don't realize who just exactly who David is, it's David Elliott, Gary's son. The two of you guys going to team up. I've been wanting to see this for a lot of years. I would think the Gary and Dave show is going to work out real good. You're going to compete at Flamborough. Is that what you're going to do with the late model there?
Yes, we are. David's late model is newer than mine, and the last time he raced that car in 2016, he finished second in the points, 2 points out of winning the championship. The year before that, he won the championship, and the year before that, he split the year. There was two champions in 2014. So him and I are going to split it this year with his car. They're working on it right now. It has a little bit more work to do to get done, but I am so excited in my 50th year to be splitting the late model with my son. And it's so funny, because we're both
different. We both are hard chargers. We both race, but I race much more conservative than David does. So if somebody, you know, ran into me or spun me out or, you know, roughed me up or something like that, I would just, you know, I would let it go. I wouldn't, you know, retaliate or anything like that. I don't do that. But David's different. Like, if he'll run you clean, but if you don't run him clean, then you're going to run into a Dale Earnhardt Sr. situation, yeah. You know, where he doesn't take it. So, but I told him, I said, David, you know, I said, you're an awesome driver. And I think I wanted so bad if I could, we could have got him in an APC Pro Late model. I think he would have been a contender. You know, but that just takes money. And we, you know, that's what we would have needed for him to do it. He's got more than enough skill. So for him and I to team up at this track in my 50th year at Flamborough is just exciting for me and an honor for me. And I'm so thankful to have a son that, you know, is that skilled and, you know, just, you know, it'll be a Quaker State car and it'll be 36, but there'll be a small 37 in the 36. So it'll be, you know, like to recognize him. I mean, he's got more championships. He's got 13 championships in the vintage modifieds and the late model, pro late model. He's won series. He's won many, many features. So he's a good driver, no doubt. And I got a feeling he'll be coaching me this year.
Yeah,
so.
Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, I can guarantee you there. It's going to be incredible to watch you. Now, how about the IWK 250? Is that still in the planning stage? Are you going to be doing it? What's that looking like?
Okay, now here's the thing. I had to make a decision when I went down there. When I went down there last year, I practiced on soft tires, and I was able to keep up. And then as soon as I put on the regular racing tires, I fell off by a half a second.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, you know what, this is crazy, because I know a lot of people like me down there, and, you know, I have relatives down there and family. I was born down there. So what I'm doing this year is I'm taking the year off to go to Nova Scotia. But what I'm planning for 2019 is not to run 100% in any series. So maybe the modified. But what I want to do next year is to go to Nova Scotia. And maybe, if I make the IWK 250, it'd be great. But I'd like to run three or four Maritime Pro Stock Tour series races.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing is I need a better car.
Right.
You know, I had one of the prestigious chassis builders look at my car last year. He came over and he looked at it, and I said, Mike, what am I going to do to make this thing turn better? And he opened the hood, he looked at it, he said, is this the car I built in 2004? I said, yeah. He closed the hood, he said, come and see me.
yeah.
So, well, in other words, you're trying to run a car that just is so outdated, you know. It's just,
right.
Anyway, but I really miss going to go down this year, and I've had a lot of fellows from Nova Scotia ask me if I was going to come down, and even guys from New Brunswick, I'd love. So what I'd like to do next year is maybe run Petty. Oh, and you had Craig on a little while ago. What a great guy he is.
Yep.
I'd like to run Petty, and I'd like to maybe stay down there for 3 or 4 weeks and run two or three of those Pro Stock Tour races. I'd love to do that.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that plan, Gary Elliott. Nothing wrong at all. And there's no sense taking, a knife to a gunfight, right? If you go, I know you want to be competitive.
Well, exactly. That's why I'm so thankful that I'm competitive in the modified, because I can't be in the late model. It's just, and I don't want to take away from anybody that's got a lot of talent. There's a lot of drivers today with awesome talent, but it still takes money to have a good car. You can't take one of the kids that are racing today and put them in a car that's 15 years old. He'll go one lap and say, Dad, I'm not driving that.
Right. Exactly.
I'll say, well, let me drive it, because at least I'm racing. People say to me, Gary, you're going to win tonight. I said, nope, but I'm going to race.
You're going to go out and have fun.
Oh, man, I'm going to race as hard as I can and try not to wreck anybody. That's not the deal.
Yeah.
So just one thing I wanted to say, too, before I, you know, because you were talking about it earlier, I just want to tell you how proud I was to hear DJ's interview by NASCAR. Holy cow, that was fantastic to hear him, and for him to represent the hockey team,
mm-hmm.
and have that on the hood of his car. That was a home run.
Pretty amazing, right? Very proud. For a lot of Canadians watching that, they would have been proud.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
it was really good. And I'm thankful that he got the airtime he did because he deserves it. And, you know, we all feel for the players and their families and, you know, that whole community. I was going to say the name, and it's Humboldt.
Yep.
Yeah,
the Humboldt
Broncos.
Broncos.
So, and I was thinking, too, you know, it'd be awesome if all the racetracks kind of get together and maybe Southern Ontario Stock Car Racing Series would be able to make a donation, and we would go as a community, a racing community in Ontario, and donate some money. Like, you know, a little bit from everybody would be huge. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of those kids in the hospital still that are probably going to be, you know, need help for a long time.
Yeah, there will be. And you know what? Race teams can really relate. You know, touring around like you guys do, there's a lot behind that. So I can understand the feelings of absolutely everyone in the racing community. It's a tragic accident that happened. And, you know, we never want to see it again. But the harsh reality is it's the potential. When you're out touring around like we do in sports, it sometimes happens.
No, I understand, Joe. That's true, and it's too bad. But I just pray God will be with them and comfort their families and help them to recover, because it's a tremendous loss.
Yeah, sure is, Gary. This has been great catching up with you tonight. We sure do appreciate the time. I can tell you that, and can't wait to see how you add up some more of these stats. But it's getting there. I can't believe 50 years has flown by. It's got to feel like a blink of an eye for you.
Well, it does, because I'm still enjoying it. I mean, I've had bad nights like everybody else, and you get discouraged. But you know what? If you love something, you just keep working at it. You just keep working at it and working at it, and don't give up. And it's hard. I know it's hard. I've been through a lot of, you know, and I really thank my family. I thank my, I thank my wife. I thank my children. I thank my pit crews, my sponsors, my promoters, other competitors. I thank God for providing me, you know, for help and people and sponsors and maybe to the drive. I know sometimes I get discouraged, but I got so many people. I couldn't have done all this by myself, and I just love the sport. And you know what it's about? The people. All the people you meet. Everybody. You guys, track promoters, their staff, fans. My goodness. It's such an awesome community to be in.
Well, and you make it all worthwhile, my friend. We can't wait to see you on the racetrack, Gary. It's going to be great.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
You want to believe it. That's Gary Elliott, the Iron Man here in Ontario. Sounds like he's got another big season all planned, Junior.
Yeah, definitely. And how cool is that story that they call and ask him for a three-year contract? That is incredible. And, you know, he does such a great job for his sponsors. And man, hats off to the entire Elliott family. When he talks about David Elliott being a hard-nosed racer,
oh yeah,
he is a hard-nosed racer. So
yes,
everybody,
he is.
Everybody at Flamborough Speedway, they're definitely excited to get a chance to get beside wheel to wheel with David again as well.
Yeah, it's going to be outstanding. We're going to hit a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to talk some APC late model racing with a couple of guys that are teaming up this year. We got Ryan Kimball and Sean Grossman, the two of them. We're going to have them on at the same time. This should be fun. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Bob Finnegan, starter for the Oscar Super Series. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
Get your motor running. Head out on the highway.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, Channel 167.
Mad Dog Sports Radio is opinionated, passionate sports talk with a bite from the hijinks of the morning men.
I bet your parents do too. They go big bulk shopping.
Hey, so
I got 50 jars of duck sauce.
We don't even eat duck sauce,
but I got a good deal.
To the inside of Adam Schein.
Bill Belichick is the best coach in the history of sports.
Not NFL.
Sports.
And the animated energy of the Mad Dog himself,
Mad Dog.
Christopher Russo.
This is the channel to talk about your favorite sports team. Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82, or anytime on the SiriusXM app.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Race Time Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Look
looking for victory.
Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90
takes you inside the sport like no one else.
One car upside down, on fire.
The biggest names in NASCAR.
This is Brad Keselowski, Joey Logano,
Kevin Harvick,
Jimmy Johnson,
Kyle Busch,
and
Martin Truex Jr. on your home for NASCAR
all year long.
Checker, 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 checker.
Keselowski just fired.
Got it.
All right, let's go finish this thing.
It's all on Sirius XM NASCAR Radio Channel 90.
Yeah. Or on your phone when you get out of the car.
All right, I'm out of here.
With the Sirius XM app.
Baseball.
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 Hear every pitch of the 2018 season on SiriusXM. Add your hometown call with dedicated team channels on the SiriusXM app. Plus, expert analysis 24/7 on MLB Network Radio.
This is the type of a deal that wins championships.
Major League Baseball on SiriusXM and MLB Network Radio. Sirius 209, XM 89, and the SiriusXM app.
Got an opinion? Give us a call.
Toll free at 1-888-572-2384.
That's 888-5-RACETIME.
The stars of the Parts for Trucks Maritime Pro Stock Tour return to Scotia Speed World.
One of the best competitive opening days that we've ever seen.
Coverage begins at 4 p.m. Eastern. Don't miss the Cummins 150.
Hey, there's a lot of fast cars here today.
Saturday, May 26th.
I'm so glad to be back here. Try to get to the front, I guess.
Boys, this thing's going to be good.
It's the Cummins 150, live from Scotia Speed World.
The car control in the front of the field is incredible.
In Halifax, Nova Scotia, Canada.
Going to be a lot of close racing.
It's live flight-to-flight coverage worldwide. Only on racetimeradio.com.
It's all about consistency that wins the championship.
Get to scotiaspeedworld.ca for tickets and info for the Cummins 150.
But you got to be there at the end.
I want my MPG.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Race Time Radio
on Sirius XM 167, Canada Talks.
And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And welcome back, everybody, to Race Time Radio. So glad you could tune in tonight here on Sirius XM Channel 167. And here we go, Junior. This is one that we wanted to do. We got two guys teaming up. And we've got them both on the hotline.
Absolutely. Two guys at once, kind of a little rapid-fire setup that we're going to have here. But before we jump in,
yeah.
I mentioned it right at the top of the hour.
Yeah.
A really cool tweet from Chris Knight and from Bristol Motor Speedway.
Okay.
But I seen it on Chris Knight's Twitter.
Yeah.
They closed the schools in Bristol and Sullivan counties, which is right around the Bristol Motor Speedway.
Right.
So they closed the schools in honor of the race being on. How cool is that?
Well,
number one.
Yeah, you wouldn't get the kids to school anyway
because
of the traffic.
Exactly, but they closed the schools because of the race, and they invited all kids from kindergarten all the way to grade 12 for free to the racetrack. You just got to be a kid between those ages, and you get into the race for free. So
isn't
any grade 12 kid, you can play hooky tomorrow and get into Bristol, no problem.
Yeah, and catch the end of the race. Okay, let's get to our guests, shall we? We're going to double team you right here because these two guys are teaming up. First guy we're going to talk to is Ryan Kimball. What's going on? Oh, no, not Ryan. We've got Sean Grossman on this line. What's going on, Sean? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, hi, guys. Thanks for having us.
You're down in the Keys. You got a wicked storm happening down there, do you?
I hope I said it's unbelievable. We went down, I took my wife down for the weekend to the Keys, and we got stuck here because of the weather, so till at least till tomorrow. So. Yeah, so we're stuck down here in a rainstorm like I haven't seen in a long time.
Well, it could be worse. You could be where we are. We're getting freezing rain right now, keeping our fingers crossed that the power stays on.
I watch the weather. I can't believe the weather you guys are getting in the middle of April. I mean, guys, we should be testing now, not...
That's
bringing
right.
Snowplows.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, open the door. Open the door. Let some heat up here. All right, Sean? Thanks.
I'm happy to oblige, guys.
There you go. Let's bring in your teammate for this season. We've also got Ryan Kimball on the hotline. What's going on, Ryan? How you doing?
Oh, I'm good, thanks.
Good stuff. See, look at this. We got the technology.
Yeah, we got the technology. We got four guys on mics here. This is good.
Yeah. Incredible. Guys, both of you have done a tremendous job. This black beauty, let's call it, Just incredible. Ryan, that car is staring at you each and every day.
Oh, yeah, I can't say enough. The guys down at Fury race cars down there just put an absolute phenomenal piece together. Yeah, Sean Grossman and I were looking for cars pretty much since December there, and he pulled the plug on setting our team up with one of the best race places going. He talked to Jeff Foltz down there at Fury, and they put together a brand new car. AP Racing Engines put a motor together for us. So, yeah, we're hoping to get some nicer weather Saturday and go pick up old cars.
Yeah, it's going to be just dynamite. Man, the APC series is going to be the series to be in here in Ontario this year. This is going to be off the hook.
Oh, absolutely. It's I'm really excited to be a part of it. Like I said, I would never be a part of it without Sean Grossman. And he's just, you know, and I've always wanted to be in that division and just watching him last year. And, you know, he supplied me with a really good limited late model the past years. And, you know, we had Sunset twice this year with two wins and stuff like that. So our team's pretty excited to try the APC car out.
Pretty wild stuff. Sean, you're not going to be behind the wheel of the APC car. You got another deal happening. You're going to be a busy guy.
Yeah, well, it'll be a, you know, I feel like a nervous father. I'll be sitting on top of the box wearing a headset just watching Ryan go around in circles. But it's, I bought a brand new Seneca car. Outlaw late model that we're picking up Saturday also conveniently, and Ryan will head up that program for me. So we work very well together, and I think we'll complement each other on each side.
That is so cool. It's such cool news. Now, looking at you guys have had a partnership now for a few years now and been working hard together all across Ontario. And talk to us, Sean, we'll start with you, a little bit about how the partnership all came together. Obviously, you have a unique situation, and you travel from down south up here to race in Canada throughout the summer. But talk to us a little bit about the partnership that you and Ryan have created, and it seems like match made in heaven all the way through.
Well, it's funny how it ended up. I was running when I first decided to, you know, dust off the cobwebs and go racing again. I started with, as you guys know, Tom Walters. Great. I mean, I always tell people he taught me in 2 years what probably takes most people 10. And through that process, Tom had asked Ryan to come on board to help. And Ryan and I started to work more and more together, and he became almost like a mentor to me, you know, because Tom was busy and Ryan came on board really to sort of, you know, quarterback my half of that team. And then I decided at one point to make a little change. It was just a personal decision, and it was just working. It was a relationship that clicked. He was looking out for my best interests, and he made my life easy, as you guys can imagine. I mean, racing at any level takes a ton of time. Now throw the equation where I'm not there. And it compounds it even more. So it worked. And, you know, we became really good friends, and I had equipment sitting, and I wanted to race, and I had a limited late model, and just the whole thing made sense. And, you know, and Ryan's done a phenomenal job. And aside from that, I don't want to make it sound like work, we've just become unbelievable friends. He's one of my best friends. He looks out for me, and I hope, you know, he sees that I look out for him. So
absolutely.
I'm excited about this new venture, and I think he's going to do great driving for me.
Absolutely. So you mentioned that you're going to be kind of like a scared dad sitting up on top of the pit box. Have you done that before? Because you're in for a shock. Like, racing a car is one thing, but sitting there watching your guy go is a little bit of a different deal.
I got the first taste of it because Ryan would run the limited late model converted over to a pro at Autumn Colors. So I would sit on top of the box. So I sort of got my feet wet with that, and we had some excellent runs. We should have won 1 year. I think Ryan finished second, and then he won the limited late model show that weekend. He almost doubled up, which I don't know how many times that's happened. But it's so I got my feet wet already a little bit. I'm not saying it's any easier. I'm saying it'll probably be some teething pains. But, you know, I'll be up there. We have an amazing crew around us. I'm not there to step on toes. I'm really just there to watch and give my two cents and be there to support him as a friend as much as a car owner.
Absolutely. Ryan, this comes at you now. This is an opportunity that you've earned, and as a guy who's watched you race a million times, this is probably one of the best race cars in Canada when it rolls across the border and you know starts turning laps in the APC series. This is got to be just the coolest feeling ever, but also it's you've earned it. It's going to be really neat to see you behind the wheel of this race car.
Well, I don't know about earned it. I consider myself very thankful, and I wake up every day and I still wonder why I was chosen to, get partnership with such a good guy as Sean Grossman. And like I've always said, he's supplied myself with GTA, Graham Flett. We just have an absolute phenomenal team put together. Even last year running the Super, we fell short of winning the championship, but it was really passionate just to run with him and try to get him that championship. And I've always spotted for him, and I find even when I spot for him, I'm more nervous than me even driving or getting buckled into the car. And when we get his cars geared up, it's no different than we're putting something together that I would try to go out and win features with or anything like that, right? So it's very passionate with our guys. And like I said, I'm just so thankful. And it's not only just the racing. Sean, looks after many, many businesses, got three kids, and he's just always there for our team outside of racing. It doesn't have to do with racing. It's just general concern. He's done it. He's been there, and I just words can't describe how thankful I am for that.
So are both cars going to look similar to one another? They can look the same? What's the paint scheme going to look like?
The bodies
like,
look a lot different, number one.
Yeah, the bodies.
If the bodies look the same, then Ryan's in trouble in the tech jet.
Yeah, I'm in big trouble. I got a little more downforce than he does.
Yeah, just a hair.
This year I left the design of the Outlaw to the boys. I've been so busy with outside stuff that I really let the boys design it. Graham Flett and Ryan had been working on it on the side, surprised me with the design. And yes, the cars are going to look very similar. All three cars will. And I think they hit it out of the park. So I'm happy. I think Ryan is. He's been working on the design. So it's, I'm happy with the design that the boys have come out with. And I think, I think the all three cars will make for a nice picture looking the same.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. So now, when you're in the car, I guess, Ryan, are you going to be on top of the box for Sean?
Yeah, I'll be spotting, and we'll have GTA. He'll crew chief both cars. GT and I work really well together. I'm more adapt to the cars and with the feelings and stuff like that. And him and I just jive really well together. I can just tell him what I feel and this and that, and he just knows what to do, and we've had a great relationship for the past 10 years, and it's like magic sometimes, you don't always win all the races and stuff like that. We've gone to races and we've struggled together, and we go home and we work hard and stuff like that, and we just come back and just we always try something, and sometimes we're successful and sometimes we're not. So
we're with Ryan Kimball tonight. He is on one line, and we got Sean Grossman, his teammate, on the other line. Two polar opposites right now. One's in the Keys and the other one's freezing his butt off up here in Canada with us. The cars themselves, what number are you going to be, Ryan? Is you going to carry your number through? What is the number going to be on the APC car?
No. All three of our cars will be 29. They'll be the exact same. We're hoping to wrap both the Super and the Pro probably maybe, next Monday or Tuesday. Our limited is wrapped. We got that wrapped just to get measurements and stuff. So both cars will look exactly like the limited. Graham Flett did a wicked design this year, knocked it out of the ballpark. He did a phenomenal job. So all three cars will be the exact same.
How about you, Sean Grossman? How is the funding coming along? How are we set for sponsors on these three machines?
Sponsors, we have the usual cast of characters, you guys know, Landing Strip, Your Eyes Only, but we bring on board AP Engines has been a huge supporter of us for the last couple years, building all our motors, and Dennis just his response time and his willingness to work with the team, goes above and beyond a normal engine builder. We got Cochrane Automotive, Rod's there anytime we need help. We've got Rylex Glass and Mirror. our usual secondary sponsors. But, you know, both cars will carry landing strip for your eyes only, Gentlemen Clubs out of Toronto, and then our usual secondary sponsors who have been with me, by the way, for some of them have been with me 20 years when I was racing in the Players GM Series and World Challenge in the States. That's, some of those sponsors go back that long. And Ryan may ultimately bring on board some of his, but it's the usual cast of characters we've had on the cars for years. They've always supported us, and they'll be back.
You didn't have to date yourself there. That made you sound real old there, Sean Grossman.
I've been doing it a while, guys. I'm sitting here, and I've got more gray, and, you know, I'm starting to feel old when I look at these old Players GM pictures and realize I was, you know, 18, 19 years old in some of those pictures. But, yeah, I've been around for a little bit racing.
That's too funny. Hey, looking at the schedule, obviously the APC schedule is set in stone on Ryan's side, but what does your schedule look like? Obviously, with the new addition of the Ontario Sports or the Ontario Super Late Model division that has popped up, what else do you guys have planned to get out to over the course of the summer? Where are you taking that Seneca car?
Well, I'll talk the outlaw side, and Ryan can talk limited late model program, because that's really his end of the deal, is template-bodied stuff. And you may see him up here in the outlaw. So we always love, I always love throwing Ryan in the outlaw car when I have the opportunity, and he almost won Kawartha last year, so I like seeing him in the outlaw. But I'll do the entire outlaw, the Ontario Outlaw series, and then it's always been on my bucket list, and from talking to Terry Seneca and with some support from the guys there, we're trying to do Glass City.
Ooh.
Depending on schedule, Ryan's schedule comes first. You know, I'm not bashful to admit it. I mean, that APC program is going to come first this year. And then I'd really like to do the Clash before I hang up my helmet and decide to be only a car owner in that capacity. But so I'd like to say we're going to do Kalamazoo if the schedule allows, and Ryan get the guys worked out in Glass City. But other than that, we'll fully support this new series. I think Ontario needs this unity with these outlaw cars and needs the support. And so I want to be there to support it. You know, whether I'm there 1, 2, 3 years down the road, the fact is these are phenomenal cars. They draw the crowds. They need the help. So, you know, 100% I'm behind it.
100%. That's cool. The Glass City race. That got my arm. That got my arm hair standing up. That's a cool race.
You say you're gonna come out, Junior, and help us?
I can't get across the border. I'm stuck up here. I'll help you in Ontario.
I'm sure we can figure out how to get you across the border, buddy. Glass City is one of those races. When you watch the field of outlaws that show up there, and the speeds they turn, and the race, it harkens back to the days of those dirty-looking outlaw cars. I mean, it's just one of those things. If you run one of those cars, you have a bucket list sort of event, it's those two events. Glass City's probably at the top, and, you know, you sort of want to do it and say, yeah, you've done it, you've qualified for it, and have at it. You know?
Absolutely.
So it's definitely on my short list.
For sure.
Yeah, it sounds like you got a wicked schedule coming up. How about it, Ryan? What's going on with the limited late model? Where are you going to fit all the time, buddy?
The limited late model was up in the air. TT and I decided we're going to bring it up, and we started putting panels on it, and next thing we ended up putting pretty much a whole new body on it, a new rad and new shocks, and we actually, usually we pull motors out in November, and we just pulled the motor out last week, and we're going to send it up to Dennis to get it. We figured if we're just going to have it in the shop, we might as well have it ready to go, and we maybe go to one race at Sunset or just have it geared up for whatever, for the Jocasta race at the end of the year, or just, you never know. We might not take it out. It'll just be ready to go. Hopefully get Sean's sons in it for a test and tune day. We'll take it up to Sunset or whatnot, just to have some fun, right?
Well, the Great Lakes series is always going to be there as well, right? You got six races there that you could sort of maybe do one at Sunset, one at Sauble, if time permits.
Oh, yeah, you never know.
It sounds like you guys have got a wicked summer coming, but both of you, with the teams and the decals all on there. I'll tell you what, the post I seen that I will remember all of this year was the picture of that beautiful black car, and Ryan, you wrote a great piece underneath that the car was talking to you. It was amazing.
Yeah, that was my vows.
Yeah, your vows.
The wedding vows.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I hadn't even seen the car. I had sent Ryan down. I said, Ryan, listen, you got to hop in the truck, grab the boys, and make a weekend of it. Ryan just got down, and all he sent, I remember, I still have the text message. I saved it, was wow in caps when he was there. So I knew something like that was going to be coming from him, you know, when he went for the fitting in the car. So it's, and again, these guys at Fury, I mean, it's a whole other level of professionalism, I mean, that I've never experienced. So it's, I mean, they really just care and are concerned and want to make sure Ryan was 100% comfortable in the car. I mean, the Jeff Foltz and Tony Urie Jr., I mean, it's just, I mean, I'm shocked. It's not just about writing a check to these guys. It's you really get enveloped in their family and how they build race cars.
Yeah, absolutely. They sure do. I met Jeff Foltz quite a few years ago now, of course, running the IWK 250 out at Riverside International Speedway. And Jeff Foltz is one of those cool guys that I get a chance to talk with each and every year he's out there. And I can attest to what you're saying, Sean. These guys are, they know what they're doing. They're professional, and I think you teamed up with the right cats.
Yeah, I mean, what's nice, like, they don't take on just because you can write a check for them. They have to, they talk you. I probably had a dozen conversations with them before you even write a check. They want to see the fit is there. You know, it's not just about building race cars to them. It's about fitting into that Fury family. And the end mission and what you bring to the table. They like winning. We like winning. It's not just about that. It's about the working relationship between all the parties. And, you know, and in my line of business, that's how I deal with it. It's very rare you see that in the racing side of it. So for me, it was refreshing to deal with guys on that level. And I'm hoping, again, Ryan reaps the benefit of that.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. Final question for both of you. We'll start with Ryan. Ryan, what's success going to be for you this year? What are you going to call a perfect season?
You know what? With I traveled around last year and watched a lot of races and seen Brandon Watson dominate. Obviously, he's going to be in that division. And the talent in that division with J.R. Fitzpatrick and there's just so many names, right? You know, we're hoping to come out of the box and hoping to be fast and have a good, consistent year. And, you know, obviously we can't be a rookie of the year. So, you know, we're gonna go for the championship. And that's the type of team we are. We're going to go for the championship in both cars. And that's what we're gearing up for. So I believe I got the team for it. You know, we got Sean Grossman, GTA Racing, Graham Flett, my dad, you know, a bunch of guys. And just I know there's a lot of good teams out there, but right now I feel that we got one of the best, so.
Sean Grossman, it's up to you. What are you going to call success this year?
Listen, I'm in the hot seat, guys. I got a third and a rookie of the year in Oscar. I got a second last year. I lost by 1 point to a real champ, Glenn Watson. I only think there's one more spot left, right? Yeah. Am I wrong?
No, yeah, there is.
So I've surrounded myself with the right equipment, the right guys. I think I would do myself an injustice if I didn't say I'd like to win it. But there are great guys. And, I mean, if we're anywhere in the top three, it's an honor to race with the guys who I'm racing with. You know, we'll crank out some wins, hopefully, and we'll see where the chips fall. But, I mean, I think I would be doing it justice to my guys to not say that I think we have a fair shot at it.
Incredible. It's going to be one thing I can guarantee. When you guys roll in, I don't care what racetrack, I don't care what series, fans are going to get their money's worth this year. This is going to be kind of cool, guys. I can't wait to watch you in action.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's going to be incredible. Thanks so much for your time on Race Time. Really do appreciate it.
No problem. Right. Thank you.
You bet.
Thanks for having us again.
You want to believe it. Have a good one down there. Stay out of that storm, Sean.
Oh, if you saw what was out my window now, you wouldn't believe it. But, yeah, we'll stay dry here.
Good stuff. Incredible, Junior. Good two guys to team up. The way these guys are going to do it, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, and the equipment that they've got lined up, that's the biggest. You know, those guys have had good equipment, you know, all the way through, and they've built a team. They're building a little powerhouse team over there. When you look at it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when you look at you know, the evolution of Ryan Kimball and his program over there, he's a young guy still, but he's been involved in late model racing. You know, he was a he was a dominant force over at Kawartha Speedway for a long time. Very fast at Peterborough Speedway. He's traveled around a little bit, you know, obviously a little bit more now over the past couple of years, but, you know, he was really good over there.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have the best equipment over there.
Right,
you know,
right.
He had good equipment. He always did. He strapped into good race cars and got some really good finishes, both at the Autumn Colors Classic and over at the big races at Kawartha and things like that. But for his talent level to strap into a brand new Fury race car, I think there's going to be some bumps in the road just simply because Fury, they don't have a whole lot of data here in Ontario on the Ontario tracks, but they get good everywhere they go. They strap into cars, they do a great job, and they pick it up. So I think that they're going to come out of the gate swinging, and it'll be interesting to see where all the chips fall by the end of the year. Obviously, the Seneca platform on the super late model side is the exact same with Grossman. So they've got quite the little team built over there, and it's only going to continue to grow, and it's going to take some numbers to do that.
Yeah, pretty amazing stuff. Can't wait to see what all unfolds. Let's get to the hotline. We got time for a call. What's going on, Tone? What's happening?
Not too much. How you guys been? I've been trying a couple weeks to get in.
Yeah, I know. We just keep gabbing and getting the guests on, and we don't get enough time, but we finally got enough space for you tonight. What's happening?
Not too much. I just had a proposition for you and Joe. I want to give you guys two tickets to Michigan Speedway in June to give away.
Ooh, isn't that cool? Well, we can do that. We can give them away, sure.
Yeah, like however you guys want to do a contest, you want to just give them away, however.
That would be so cool. Thanks so much, Tone.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
They're two deck tickets, so you get in all weekend. You get to watch in turn three. So however you want to do it.
That's well, awesome. That's what we'll do. And we'll come up with an idea. When do you want to give them away? When do you want to do that?
I haven't got them in the mail yet. But whenever you guys like, it's all up to you guys.
Okay, when you get them in, we're going to do that, and we'll come up with a real inventive way to give away a couple of tickets to Michigan International. Wouldn't that be cool?
I think it would be, yeah.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
Just amazing. We got Bristol coming up tomorrow to finish the race. What did you think of part one?
It was a little long. I liked it, though. It was some good racing.
100%. The racing was definitely stacked. When you look at some of those guys digging up on the top side versus the bottom, I think we're in for a show tomorrow underneath the sun.
Oh, I totally agree. I'm looking forward to it.
For sure.
Yeah.
How many years have you been going to Michigan?
I think 13.
Wow, really? That's cool.
Yep.
It just can't go this year, is it?
No, actually, what I do every year is I buy a set of deck tickets, and I give them away.
That cool?
Yep, this is the third year I've been doing it.
Oh, that's cool. So neat.
The last 2 years I've done it on Twitter, and this year I just decided to change it up and give actually more Canadians a chance to go over.
Well, that is too cool, Tony. We really appreciate that, and I know the listeners will too.
Yeah, no problem.
We'll have some fun with this one.
Awesome.
There's no question.
Stuff. Awesome stuff. We'll get you back on. You let us know when you got those babies, and we'll put a program together that'll rock them.
For sure, I will.
Awesome stuff, Tony. We really appreciate it. We're getting close to the top of the hour. We got to throw it back to Sirius XM, bud.
Okay, thanks. Keep up the good work.
Well, thank you so much. That's Tone on the hotline. Good stuff.
That's so cool.
How is that?
How that doesn't happen.
No.
Fans don't. That is the coolest thing. That's neat.
Well, we're going to come up with a program
where
the listeners get a chance to win.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be cool? But like I mentioned, we are really close to the top of the hour. We're going to throw it back to Sirius XM. We can't thank you enough for tuning into Race Time Radio. We sure appreciate it. Each and every Sunday night right here on racetimeradio.com on Sirius XM channel 167 and of course, PerformanceMotorsportNetwork.com and Gearhead Country Radio and all the different ways you tune into Racetime Radio. We sure appreciate it. But that's going to do it for Junior and I in the studio right now. Got to thank Sue here. Got to thank everybody back in Toronto for hooking us up. But that does it for us. We will catch you again next Sunday right here on Racetime Radio. Have a good, safe week. And trust me, the freezing rain will stop. The sun will be out. Have a good one, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. A message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.